Alhamdulillah, everyone has been very fortunate to have heard many a great speakers entertain the gathering before myself. We had Mullah Suhail Bawa, we also had Mullah Ataur Rahman, and they mentioned many a points which those who speak the English language were not fortunate enough to hear. So before I go on to the actual discussion regarding the finality of prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I just want to slightly expound upon a point the respected speaker prior to prayer mentioned. He mentioned that once it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then within the famous verse which is normally recited repeatedly within such gatherings, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala highlights three aspects of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first aspect is the blessed name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala mentions مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ. Within this initial portion of this verse, we have a mention of the blessed name of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After which, the second point Allah Ta'ala mentions is وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The duty of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The responsibility Allah Ta'ala honored the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with. And this is none other than extending the message of Allah Ta'ala to ourselves, i.e. the nation of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the final third point Allah Ta'ala highlights is wa khatam an-nabiyyin, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam being the final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This in reality is a mention of the caliber and the status, the rank of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The respected Shaykh, he mentioned many a couplets which were consistent of both the Urdu and the Persian language. And through these couplets, he was highlighting the magnitude and the magnificence of the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I don't possess that knowledge that I can present those same couplets before yourselves. But just as a taster, I want to mention one point through which we can understand the excellence of the name of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Once we take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, the construct of the name of Allah ta'ala is such that if we were to remove letters from the name of Allah ta'ala in a manner that only one letter remains within the name of Allah ta'ala, It would still be full of meaning. Let me explain myself. We say Allah, the entire name. This is the actual name of the being and the existence of our great Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remove the Hamza from the beginning, we remain with Lillah, which comes in the beginning of many verses of the glorious Quran, Lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard, which means that everything is within the ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remove the lam from the beginning. We remain with lahu. This again comes within the beginning of many verses of the glorious Quran. Lahu mulku samawati wal ard. Lahu ma fis samawati wal ard. Everything belongs to Allah ta'ala. We remove the lam again, and we remain with the letter hu alone. This comes in the meaning of Allahu la ilaha illa hu. There is nothing except the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the magnificence of the name of Allah ta'ala. That if we start removing letters from the beginning and we only remain with one letter hu at the end, it is still full of meaning. Similar is the name of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If we take his blessed name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we can remove letter after letter. When we remain with only the dal at the end, it is still full of meaning and it is still rich with meaning. Let me again explain myself. Muhammad refers to the existence of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, someone who is praised again and again, someone who is praised repeatedly. Once it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the glorious Quran mentions many an attributes for him. But once it comes to names, the glorious Quran only mentions two. Number one is Ahmad and number two is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Muhammad means that he himself is praised again and again. His praise is excessive and his praise is in abundance. The question is, how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrive at this state that he himself has become great once it comes to being praised? The answer is within his name, Ahmad. Ahmad refers to someone who praises Allah Ta'ala. He praised Allah Ta'ala so much that he himself, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, became worthy of praise. So Muhammad is his name. We remove the meme from the beginning, we remain with Hamd. It refers to praise. We remove the ha, we remain with mad. Madda yamuddu maddan means to drag people away from the fire of hell and show them the direction of paradise. We remove the meme, we remain with dal alone. Dal comes in the meaning of addallu ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi. He showed us the route and the path to paradise, and he himself became worthy of the reward of every person from amongst his nation who follows him. This is the name of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Khuba name Muhammad e mu'mino. Khuba name Muhammad e mu'mino. Jis pe nukta bi rab ko gawara nahi. Once it comes to the name of Allah Ta'ala, we don't find any letter which has a dot above it, beneath it, or within the middle of it. Like we've got the letter ba, it's got a dot beneath. We've got the letter kha, it's got a dot above. We've got the letter jim, it's got a letter in the middle of it. Once it comes to the letters within the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala did not even bear one such mark upon his name. Similar is the case with the name of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah ta'ala could not bear even such a dot upon the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to show that just like my name is flawless, in a similar manner the name of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is flawless. Now the topic relates to Khatmun Nubuwa. I have 20 minutes or maybe just above 20 minutes to present a few points before yourselves. Now before I do so, I want you to understand the climate we find ourselves within. When we hear that people are leaving Islam, we think, this is a myth. We don't take it seriously. The Shaykh mentioned that log mulhid ho rahe hai. People are now becoming atheists. They are rejecting the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many a people think it's a joke. But because this is my field, and to be honest, I have discussions with apostates every other week, I can tell you how real this challenge is. There was a father yesterday night, he was smiling with me. And today morning before I set out to initially go to Chorley within Lancashire and then come on to Glasgow within Scotland, I received a phone call. And he said that, do you have any time? I want to speak to you. I said, why? He said, it's a long story. I can't tell you over the phone. I would rather tell you face to face. So I said, okay, I've got a few minutes. I'll come to your house. I went to his house and he told me that last night my son went to sleep as a Muslim. In the morning he went to work. He never returned from work. We phoned the authorities. We asked people around. We had no answer regarding his whereabouts. It's only then we looked into his bedroom and we found a note. And the note said, I've left home, I'm never coming back. I've left Islam, I'm never coming back. And most surprisingly, what we take to be very insignificant, this secular education system which is now brainwashing all our children. The third point he wrote was, I am now a woman. It's a real challenge, my brothers. And this is not only one case I'm mentioning before you. I've come across, on a weekly basis, I will have discussion with apostates. And past this, I can name you scholars of Islam who themselves have apostated. For this reason, let's open our eyes and let me elaborate upon this a little further. You may be thinking, why has Saifuddin mentioned this? Once it comes to atheism, people know this is foreign to Islam. Once it comes to Christianity, people know foreign to Islam. Once it comes to Judaism, people know foreign to Islam. Once it comes to Hinduism, any other so-called religion, everyone knows this is totally alien to Islam. But once it comes to Qadianism, they present themselves under the banner of Islam and they claim to be Muslims, due to which our youngsters have more of a chance of falling for Qadianism than they have in comparison to falling for Christianity or Judaism. It comes to Christianity, we know the significance. We tell our children, we teach our youngsters, we tell them within the four walls of our homes that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is not God. We explain to them that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is not part of this Trinity, the three who combine together and then they make our God. We explain to them that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was not the final prophet of Allah Ta'ala, nor was Isa alayhi salatu wasalam the final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we know this is a danger to the faith of our youngsters. My brothers, please remember, they will not fall prey to Christianity. Christianity is now dead. They will not fall prey to Judaism. Why? Because they know it's totally alien to Islam. But once it comes to those who affirm a prophet after our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they will present this belief to be a belief of Islam. They will present this belief to be a belief of the Quran and Sunnah, and our youngsters will fall for this. They've lost the iman without even realizing. So it's a real challenge we face in this day and age. So the respected speakers have mentioned many things before you. The Shaykh mentioned that one of the reasons for why Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani was deemed a disbeliever was due to his blasphemous remarks he made with regards to Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Shaykh mentioned many in the Urdu language. I don't have the audacity, nor do I have the courage to bring them upon my tongue. But let me tell you, he never only blasphemed Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he never even left the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. That woman, who is the sole woman to be mentioned by name within the glorious Quran, Maryam, mal masih ibn Maryam illa rasul. The Quran mentions that the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, wa ummuhu siddiqah, she was more than truthful. The Quran praises her in copious instances. There is no mention of the name of any wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam within the glorious Quran. But we find a direct mention of the name of the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam within the glorious Quran. Such a sacred personality, once it comes to the Muslim ummah, once it comes to Islam. Never mind, he never forgave Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He never left any stone unturned once it came to disparaging the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Maryam radiyallahu anha. Now let me tell you, our belief, I don't even need to ask you, is that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born without a father. There was no male intervention. Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she delivered Isa alayhi salatu wasalam after having expected Isa alayhi salatu wasalam without the means of any male intervention. She had no husband. She wasn't a wicked woman linguistically, i.e. she wasn't a bad woman. And at the same time, we all also know that once it comes to the glorious Quran has painted an amazing picture regarding the miraculous birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. If you were to ask the Qadianis that what do you believe in this regard, They will conceal the reality from you. Why? Because they know that the so-called leader Mirza Ghulam Qadiani, once it comes to the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, has mentioned such negative remarks regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, his mother, and also according to his understanding, the mother of the father of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that no believer can ever comprehend such remarks and such comments. What is Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani mentioned? We look towards his statements, which have been combined in a work that many a people refer to as Ruhani Khazain, spiritual treasures. Whereas we say they're not Ruhani, they are everything except spirituality within them. We find within his works that his understanding, na'udhu billah, was that Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha had an affair with Joseph the carpenter, Yusuf Najjar. And due to this affair with Yusuf Najjar, Joseph the carpenter, she then started to expect Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. I can't bring those words upon my tongue. Once the seniors and the elders within the community came to realize that, do you know what she's expecting as a result of this affair with Yusuf Najjar? They then quickly brought about the marital contract. The marriage took place, the nikah took place, and after that she then gave birth to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now where does this stand in light of the glorious Quran? And everyone please keep one principle in mind. The Qadiani claims to be a Muslim. We truly are Muslims. Now, if they want to prove the viewpoint to be the Islamic viewpoint, it only makes sense that they resort back towards the primary source of Islam, the glorious Quran. And if we want to prove our viewpoint to be the valid, correct Islamic viewpoint, we again should also establish our viewpoint from the primary source of Islam, the glorious Quran. When we normally say to people, Islam mentions this, the first source people look towards is the glorious Quran. Why? Because Islam equals the glorious Quran. The ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are a commentary and an elaboration of the glorious Quran. So we say to these Qadianis that you now believe that na'udhu billah, the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she had an affair with someone. This affair led to the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. In other words, you are of the understanding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had a father. Let's now present your opinion upon the glorious Quran. We will present our opinion upon the glorious Quran. Whatever the glorious Quran mentions and whoever the glorious Quran sides with, that is the Islamic opinion, and those who follow that opinion are the Muslims. And whoever opines contrary to that or in conflict with that, they have a non-Islamic understanding and a non-Quranic understanding in this regard. Now the best thing to do is that we question the glorious Quran regarding this matter, and we try to find within the glorious Quran a statement of that pure woman, Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha herself. Why? Because the entire discussion relates to her. If there's a woman walking around outside on the street and one person says that, do you know what, she is a bad woman. Another one says, hold on, no, she's a good woman. Rather than going towards a third person to give us his understanding regarding whether this woman is an evil woman or she is a good woman, we would go to that woman herself and say that, you tell us the reality of your being. So we ask the glorious Quran, we ask Allah Ta'ala, that what does that pure woman, Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha, have to say regarding this matter herself? The glorious Quran mentions, قَالَتْ, she said herself during her worldly life, when she was given the glad tidings that she is going to have the child, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَام, O angels who have brought me the glad tidings regarding me very soon going to give birth to this child, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam,
How can I have a child? How can I give birth to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? Why? Because she had the world of means in her mind, like we do. If someone says a child, we understood that it's due to a male and female coming together. She had the same question. The angels are telling me, I'm going to have a child, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Anna yakunu li ghulam. How on earth can I give birth to this child, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرْ No man has ever touched myself. وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا Nor am I an evil woman. Let's pay attention to what Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha is saying. There are only two manners in which a woman can give birth to a child. Number one is outside wedlock. And number two is within wedlock. There is no third possible scenario. So Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha negates both possibilities. She says, لَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرْ I'm not married that someone has engaged me physically in order for me to have a child. وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا Nor have I had an affair outside wedlock. She negates herself the intervention of a male. Now when Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani says, no, there was the intervention of a male and he claims it was outside wedlock, we say your understanding conflicts with what Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha herself mentioned regarding the birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as recorded by Allah ta'ala within the undeniable message of Allah ta'ala, the glorious Quran. There's only one being who knows us better than ourselves. And that is Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala knows us in such a manner that He doesn't only know our apparent, He also knows our internal. The companions, alayhimur ridwan, they were told at a particular moment in time, وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ What is within your heart internally, whether you make that apparent or you conceal that, يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ Allah Ta'ala will reckon you regarding that. One can only reckon another regarding that which he possesses knowledge with regards to. Allah Ta'ala is mentioning, اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ Allah Ta'ala knows you better than yourselves. After having asked Maryam radiyallahu anha, now we ask her creator Allah Ta'ala. Either she will know, she's told us that there was no male intervention. But you know her better than herself. Why? Because she is your creation. What do you have to say in this regard? Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّتِي أَحْصَنَتْ فَرَجَهَا She was totally chaste. وَنَفَخْنَا فِيهَا مِن رُوحِنَا And it was us who granted her the child, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He has, na'udhu billah, mentioned Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha to be a liar in this regard. He has mentioned Allah ta'ala to be false in this regard. Or then he can say that the glorious Quran is not preserved in its original form. That's the greatest reason for why he will then become a disbeliever. Two more points in this regard. And why am I mentioning this? We're probably thinking, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, how was he coming to this? The respected Shaykh was mentioning, there's wujuhu takfir. There's not one reason for why Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani was a disbeliever. And pay attention to this. You're probably thinking this conference relates to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam being the final Prophet of Allah Ta'ala. And he's talking about Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. Should he not be saying Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani was a false prophet? He was an imposter. Who is worthy of being a prophet? The best of believers. If we understand Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani was the worst of disbelievers, that automatically removes that crown of prophethood people assume was upon his head. The Shaykh mentioned wujuhu takfir, and he counted six and he mentioned them before the masses here. Six reasons for why Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani was a disbeliever. And one reason he mentioned was due to him disparaging and blaspheming Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now once it comes to every one of us, we have been instructed to remain obedient to our parents. Jewel,
mother and father. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ. We proclaim the oneness of Allah Ta'ala and live in accordance with it. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And we are dutiful to our parents, mother and father. This is the instruction that has been directed towards everyone without exclusion. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, his father Azar, scholarly discussion, I'm not going into it. His father Azar was a polytheist. He would worship idols. Even at that time when his father parted from him, he was still nice to him. And he said, Sawfa astaghfiru lakum Rabbi, I'm never going to forget you. I want you to be forgiven in the court of Allah Ta'ala. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ. If your parents, they exert effort in order to try to make you ascribe partners with Allah Ta'ala, فَلَا تُطِعُهُمَا. Do not go through with their instruction. But وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. You've got to be nice to both parents during this worldly life, regardless of what they put you through. Be good to your parents. And once it comes to Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, Allah Ta'ala records his statement within the glorious Quran, Barran bi walidati, I'm dutiful to my mother alone. Question, was he disrespectful to his father? The answer is, if he had a father, then he would have mentioned, I am dutiful to my parents, mother and father. When he only has a mother, there is no father within the picture, he doesn't make mention of it. Barram bi walidati, I am dutiful to my mother alone. Once it comes to the attribution of a child, the child is affiliated with the father. Look at the companions alayhim ar-radwan. Look at the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Abdullah. Ibn Umar, the child and the son of Umar radiyallahu an. Ibn Abbas, ibn Mas'ud, the child is always related back to his father, attributed towards his father. This is the norm. But once it comes to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the glorious Quran mentions Isa ibn Maryam. Isa ibn Maryam. Isa, the son of Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Question is, why has Allah Ta'ala left his normal style, his normal sunnah? And he's not attributed Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to this fatherly figure. The answer is, if there was a father, the style would have remained the same. When there is no father, there's only the mother. The style changes. Isa ibn Maryam, Isa, the son of Maryam radiyallahu anha. So thereof the understanding father. And what sort of father I've explained. Out of marriage, na'udhu billah, Maryam radiyallahu ta'ala anha had an affair with Yusuf Najjar. When the seniors came to realize she is 6 or 7 months expecting, it's only then did the marriage take place in order to, according to their understanding, try to save her name. And what do we say? Jisne ma ko nahi chora, kya wo bache ko kabhi chorega? Imagine, when he mentions such things regarding the mother, do you think he's ever going to spare the child? So this is one point I wanted to highlight before yourselves. Now final point, there's no time. Within the sermon, I recited a portion of a verse. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. And this will be more relevant to the youngsters here. The elders, alhamdulillah, we are firm upon our beliefs. We are not ready to move right or left. Someone can put a gun to our heads, we're not going to change our belief. But once it comes to our youngsters, they have access to social media. Who isn't on social media? There was a time when parents used to say, don't give children mobile phones. Now that's out of the question. They say, they're going to have mobile phones, they're also going to have social media, but now we need to monitor the usage of social media. Every youngster is on social media. Once it comes to social media, in this day and age, the Qadiani narrative is being pushed in a manner it was never pushed in the past. And how is it being pushed? Let me tell you.
They won't only try to confuse laymen from the public. They will phone great scholars, so-called debaters, and they will present this verse before them on the phone. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. And they will try to prove through this that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has passed away. There is no second coming of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And many of the so-called learned social media celebrities have no response, and they just put the phone down, or they mention a very, very feeble, weak argument. The Qadiani comes out on top, the recording goes out, and many a youngsters fall astray because of this. So they mention this verse. I'm answering and finishing. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is but a messenger of Allah Ta'ala. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Messengers have passed prior to before the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will read this verse and then they will say that this verse is mentioning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah Ta'ala. And all the messengers have passed away before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now I'm going to mention this in a manner, there won't be too many technicalities. Yes, there's a discussion. Does this khalat even come in the meaning of death? It's an in-depth, something very, very simple so the youngsters can walk away with something today. They say this means that messengers, Allah Ta'ala mentions them unrestrictedly, generally. It includes Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, like it includes every other prophet of Allah Ta'ala. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ. They've all passed away. They'll present this verse and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has passed away. Why? Because Allah mentions messengers have passed away. Was Isa alayhi salatu wasalam a messenger? We say yes, say he's passed away as well, done. The first point we need to understand regarding this verse is that these Qadianis themselves don't take messengers to refer to all the messengers like they try to explain to us. We ask them, is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a messenger? They will say yes. We'll say if all the messengers have passed away, then he must have passed away as well. But how could he have passed away when the verse was revealed upon him? So the verse being revealed upon him is an evidence that he was alive. So when you exclude the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from all the messengers, then you have not taken the messengers as a whole. You have restricted and excluded yourselves. When you exclude, there's not a problem. We say Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam is also excluded. What's then the problem? If excluding a messenger from all these messengers is a problem, then you've done it first and we've copied you. And if our exclusion is a problem, then you say no, it means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also passed away. Why? It includes all the messengers. Number 2, please understand. This verse of the glorious Quran was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 3rd year after migration at the time of the Battle of Tabuk. 3rd year after prophethood. We have another verse in the Quran which was revealed in the 10th year after prophethood. So this verse they mentioned was revealed earlier. And the verse I'm now about to present was revealed approximately 7 years later. Who's saying this? There's no time to go into detail. Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani and his bootlickers, they all mentioned the same, that this verse was revealed in the 10th year after migration. What does this verse mention? مَلْ مَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is but a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Messengers, according to their translation, have passed away before him. We say that once it comes to the verse you present, you exclude the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is discussing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The verse we present, we exclude Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and say he's not passed away. Why? Because the discussion now does not relate to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as it did do so in the first verse, due to which you excluded him. It now discusses Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Wama Muhammadun illa rasulun qad khalat min qablihi ar-rusul, means they've all passed away except the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam according to your understanding. So mal masih ibn maryam illa rasulun qad khalat min qablihi ar-rusul, based upon your same understanding, now means that they've all passed away but Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is still alive. Third point, I'm finishing. I'm very sorry about this. The seniors are there, they've got the real knowledge. I'm still a student of knowledge. But I'll tell you one thing. Not about me, about the Shaykh. There was a mention that he has online courses and they are very, very important. They're not only for elders, they're not only for youngsters, they're not only for men, they're not only for women, they are for literally everyone. And he himself has ample experience once it comes to many different deviant sects, but specializes greatly once it comes to the finality of the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These few discussions we leave within yourselves, and you remain thirsty to listen to more. Look, everyone, thirsty. This conference doesn't mean you come and it's finished till the next conference. This conference means that we leave behind a flame, and that flame leads you to the course, and you give your life for the finality of the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me tell you, alhamdulillah, I've been privileged. The Shaykh has told me to teach upon many occasions as well. And when you go on to teach those classes and you see there are students within hundreds from around the entire world, so why should we lose out then? So let's try to join these courses. They don't cost anything. They are online. You don't have to physically attend. We are being given such a great belief without which a person cannot remain a believer for free online. If anyone despite this turns their face away from it, there's no greater loser than us. And let me tell you, this current generation we have before our eyes, one by one they are leaving Islam. May Allah Ta'ala save us all. What's going to happen to the generation after this generation? Do you know these youngsters you find in the masjid? They have come because there's a program. Let me ask you, once it comes to Fajr, maybe Dhuhr, how many youngsters do you find in the masjid? And do you know the seniors we have, may Allah Ta'ala preserve all of them, they will be gone after 10, 15 years. Where is our next generation? It's nowhere to be seen. We've built the masjid. Who's going to populate it? We've built the madrasa. Who's going to populate it? If we don't connect our children to the ulama, to the masajid, to the makatib, to the madaris, wallahi al-azim, there will not even be the name of Islam left within our generations. Travel abroad, go to other countries. Ask, what's your name? He'll give you a Muslim name. What do you believe in? God doesn't exist. You've got countries, they've got masajid much bigger than this. The doors are locked. Why? Because there's no Muslim to populate the masjid. You've got masajid. They have now become landmarks. What do? They put a recording of the adhan on so people can hear it outside. Why? Because there is no Muslim to call the adhan in the masjid. Connect to scholars. Connect to masajid, makatib, madaris. Enroll to such courses. And it's only then will we be able to save our faith and save our iman. Final point. Do you know they say that this word messengers, it's general, it includes Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as well. We say, hold on, the way you're making it general, let me generalize it for you. Allah Ta'ala mentions, Allahu yastafi min al-mala'ikati rusulan wa min al-nas. Once it comes to messengers, those who portray the message of Allah Ta'ala, they take the message of Allah Ta'ala and hand it over to another person. They are not only from the humankind, min al-mala'ikati, they are also from amongst the angels. So if we take your general meaning that messengers have all passed away, our question is that according to the terminology of the Quran, based upon the verse I've presented before yourself, all the angels from amongst them, we've got certain like Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam, they are also messengers of Allah Ta'ala. Do you believe Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam passed away? Do you believe other angels who take messages of Allah Ta'ala for Allah Ta'ala have passed away? They'll say no. We'll say why? They'll say because there's another verse. There's another hadith. We say when you can exclude the angels, you can exclude the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam due to other verses, other ahadith, then what does not allow us to exclude Isa alayhi salatu wasalam based upon the same facts and the same texts due to which you exclude not only Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam, also many others as well? Now let me ask you a simple question. I'm leaving now. Leaving means I'm leaving here. Yes, otherwise if I sit down, you'll send me out. Then imam ke peeche lag jate ya, 100% I agree. Now, iqtida means that you stay behind the imam. And I normally say to people that the day you go in front of the imam is your janazah. The day you perform salah behind the imam, the day you pass the imam, you think you've exceeded the imam, is the day of your janazah. So if you want to die quickly, then try exceeding the imam. Otherwise, stay behind him. That's your lane. So fine. In the Arabic language, the word for passing away is mata. Mata, not tamata. Mata means passing away. Once it comes to this verb, this word khala, yakhlu, khulu, and khalat, it comes in many different meanings. One meaning of that is of death. Many meanings, one meaning is of death. The question is that when it comes to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, there's one word that refers to death. Allah Ta'ala never used that for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, nor did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam within any authentic hadith. What was the need for Allah Ta'ala to leave the word that comes to refer to death and mention another word? And if we look towards weak ahadith, we find inna Isa lam yamut, he's not even passed away. So if you want to talk about the Quran and Sunnah, no authentic mentions that he has passed away, but you've got certain ahadith which have somewhat discussion regarding their transmission to us that mention he's not passed away. And now I finish. You ask them regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they say, oh, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he passed away, he's not going to come again. We say, how did he pass away? What happened? They say, when he was put on the cross, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was injured very severely. He was then taken off the cross. He was bleeding profusely. He was treated. He then went towards Kashmir. And if you go to Srinagar, you will find his grave. That's where he passed away. We say, Allahu Akbar. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's life has been mentioned in so much detail in the Quran. The birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the miracles when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam spoke even within his cradle. When Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he brought people back to life. He cured the leper. He cured those who were born blind. It mentions every detail regarding the life of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. We say, do you know this journey to Kashmir? Where does the Quran and Sunnah mention this? Totally silent. Why? Because wherever the story finished temporarily, because he's gone up to the heavens, Allah Ta'ala paused everything there, and then the Quran does mention his second coming. وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِّلسَّاعَةِ. The ahadith mentioned the descent of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. You've got the temporary pause. Why? Because there was no Kashmir story these guys make up. So wujuhu takfir, many reasons for his disbelief, respected Maulana Sahib mentioned, when there's more than 6 reasons for his disbelief, can such a person ever become a prophet of Allah Ta'ala? When he can't become a prophet of Allah Ta'ala, there's no need to discuss whether he was a prophet or not. He was one of the worst kafirs. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to understand this belief of ours. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to stay affiliated with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to accept him to be the final prophet of Allah Ta'ala. May he allow us to remain connected with the masjid.
with the ulama within the masjid, with the makatib within the masjid, and the courses that the ulama offer in this regard, like the respected shaykh, we try to enroll onto them. May Allah Ta'ala accept, may Allah Ta'ala grant us all paradise alongside the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so we can visualize Allah Ta'ala in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam.